Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Welcome, everyone, and this is Dr. Joanne White, and we have two wonderful guests today. And everybody, I'm sure everybody in the audience, all our listeners, have at one time or another, and hopefully currently, have a dream or had a dream. And we're going to talk to two people, and we're going to look at people's dreams. And I know from my own personal experience that it's so very, very important to keep your dreams alive. Whether or not you've traded your old dreams for new ones, that's fine. Sometimes our outdated dreams don't no longer work with us as we grow and move forward in life and as we change. Yet I think it's so very, very important to have a dream and to follow through with it. And my first guest, Saskia Roel, is somebody who lives that. And she has an incredible story. I'm just going to briefly introduce that story, but I know that Saskia is going to tell us much more about it to inspire you folks. She came to America with five children who didn't speak a word of English. She had one suitcase to follow her dream. No job, no contacts, very, very little money. She and her family succeeded by trusting the guidance of her soul. Today, Saskia is a soul empowerment coach, a speaker, a healer, and a best-selling author who has co-authored books with Deepak Chopra and Jack Canfield. And she has helped many, many people live their biggest dreams, no matter what your dreams are, whether they're big or small. As I said earlier, it's still important to live your dreams. And Saskia has a new book out. It's called A Suitcase Full of Faith, and it's probably, we're going to find out more about that, probably about her experience. And this particular book inspires people with courage, her courage, and shows you how one woman can find and found her dream by trusting her soul. And so without further ado, I know Saskia is here because we've been talking. Saskia, welcome to the Power Your Life show.
I'm so delighted to be here, and I immediately want to say this is such a special day because as I'm listening to your story, and of course I knew when I woke up, we are here exactly on July 6th, 10 years. So it's a big anniversary, and it's an honor to be on your show and, you know, inspire everybody to follow your dream, no matter how big it is.
Well, happy anniversary. That's important. So I know you have a great story, and I love listening to people's stories because it helps me feel that my dreams are valid and that we can share them. So would you mind sharing your story, Saskia, with our listeners, because I think it's important to inspire folks about their own dream.
You know, my story goes way back, and in my book, A Suitcase Full of Faith, I have 47 stories where I show how to live fearlessly and follow every dream. But to tell you a little bit about the latest big dream we had, like 10 years ago, I woke up and I felt like that stirring in my soul, like you have to leave. And I tell you, we were on top of the wave. I had birthed my five children in 8.5 years' time and set up a really great business, my healing and coaching practice. I had waiting lists for 4 months. My husband's business was thriving. And then you hear, it's time to leave. And I know that voice of my soul because since I'm a little girl, I faithfully follow that. And I know that sometimes we have to take that big leap. And, I mean, we were guided truly by my soul, the seven of us, to take that leap. And we left Holland. And I tell it in a nutshell now, but we left Holland on the 6th of July in 2001, and we had no jobs. We had very little money. We bought a house over the phone in this little village, Rockport, Massachusetts, and we had five kids who didn't speak a word of English, and yes, a suitcase full of faith that I knew that when you have that gut feeling, when you have that stirring in your soul, follow through because the universe supports your biggest dream. And
sometimes though, because I teach a lot about that as well, but and I get a lot of questions, and some of the questions that I get, and I'm going to pose that to you, are how do you know when that's the voice of the soul? How do you know that that's the guidance that you need to follow? And I have certain answers, but I want to hear your answers because I think that's important. So how do we tell people when they're hearing an internal message or whispering sometimes people get it in a vision and sometimes people hear it? How do you know that's the true voice? It's not the voice of fear. It's not the voice of doubt. It's not the voice of something else leading you astray.
You know, I believe that when you walk the path of your soul, you don't walk the path of your mind. I mean, often you have to be out of your mind to be, like, follow that voice of your soul, where clearly everybody thought that we were out of our mind to go with five kids, leave Holland, have no security. We couldn't pursue our old, you know, I could set up a new coaching practice, but I had no contacts. My husband had to start from scratch. We brought some money to survive the first months, but, you know, but to answer your question better, usually when it's the voice of your soul with your mind, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, usually there comes immediately when you have that gut feeling, that stirring, like, I got to do this. Your mind usually starts to argue because it's not logical. It doesn't make sense. Very often fear comes up, but it's that kind of, you know, itchy, passionate, bubbly feeling in your belly, like usually it's like instantaneous. Like that's when you know it's that voice. When I met my husband, I was married. I'm talking about my present husband. I was married, and I thought I was happily married. I was 28, and you know, maybe there wasn't that much passion, but I had no idea that that could be there. So I'm standing in, I've lived all over the world, but I lived then in Indonesia. No, I didn't. I lived in Singapore, but I was in Indonesia, and there's this guy shaking my hand on a field hockey tournament, and I hear this voice. It's him. This is the man of your dreams. And I'm like, what? I'm married? I wasn't looking for any guy? Are you kidding me? And that's so typical. That's so typical of voice of your soul then. And my soul said, not much. Usually the guidance is very sparse, but it was very clear. It said, it's him. And I said, but I'm married. So I engage in this mind conversation. I'm married. This guy lives in Taiwan. He's Dutch too. But so I really didn't see it, and I couldn't figure out the how, of course. That's where we always have to back off. But I didn't see
right,
it, that, and it was very clear, you know.
The how gets provided for us sometimes rather than us trying to really map it out, although sometimes it is important to have a plan, even if you have to change it. You know, I am familiar with that voice, too, because I remember that when I was working with children with disabilities, there was a voice in my head that was a voice about the children, and it would not go away. It was so persistent, and it was like the voice of my soul as you're talking. And I finally said, okay, already, like giving into it, really, really in a way saying yes to it, and started to write that book that became this tremendous manuscript. So I understand perfectly what you're talking about. But how do we tell people, you're talking so wonderfully and so easily about walking the path of your soul, However, to somebody who doesn't know what that means, how can you guide them? What does it mean, Saskia, to walk the path of your soul? How do you describe that to somebody?
I would say to walk the path of the soul is to really become in tune with your destiny, with that path where there needs to be a willingness to sit in that unknown zone. I mean, you have to move out of your comfort zone to walk that path. And I just want to say it's a choice. And not everybody wants to do it. And it's not for everybody. And it's perfect where everybody is. But, and that's why all my coaching clients, that's the people, of course, I work with, want to learn that. And I have now recently, or for the last couple of months, started, it's called a soul tribe, where I help people figure out that guidance and to move through the resistance and to really, you know, go after that one thing we want so badly, either if it's like writing that book or moving to Italy or starting your career or having a baby. It, no matter what it is, it's that one thing that really keeps calling you. That's like that calling, you know it, you have it, but you don't know how to get there. And now, yeah, I have this phenomenal tribe of women who, you know, once a week call in the coaching class, and I'm so, you know, delighted to do it because I see that people, you know, we don't know how to listen, but we can learn to listen by becoming aware. That's really the first step. Become aware, and I would say to anyone who listens, take, even if it's 5 minutes a day, sit with your soul. You sit with your butt on the floor and do nothing, or on the couch and have your nice chai or tea or coffee, and just sit there and tune in. Like, what do I really want? And I mean, it's not about you want that car or you want this or that. That's all fine. But usually there is like a deeper steering that wants to come out. And in the tribe, I mean, we talk a lot because about like the resistance, because then we want to do that one thing, and then you say you have no time, or we come up with all the excuses. But the beautiful thing is, I believe when we go after our dreams, to me it's the road to enlightenment. I always say that. And literally enlightenment, because we lighten up our loads, because we come across our fears. If you follow your soul, you'll know.
I love that in terms of lightening your soul, lightening your path, because I think it's really very, very true. Now, you have followed your soul in many, many ways. Have you ever lost your faith? Because I work with a lot of people as well who sometimes feel that they're floundering and they're not sure where they're going, and they're doubting that's their soul voice, and they're doubting their future, even though they've been getting inklings of it for so long. Do you ever lose your faith? Have you ever had a dark moment of the soul where that's happened?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we all have times when, you know, we wonder and we lose our faith. I know for myself, I just have to go deeper because we can't really lose it. It will be there. But, I mean, I tell you, in my journey, I've been homeless. I've been held gunpoint in the jungle of Africa. I have, you know, swam with the sharks in the Ivory Coast. I hitchhiked through Japan and was almost kidnapped. I mean, I've traveled all over the world, and here, coming to America, this is a huge moment where my faith was, I had to search so hard. We left on this day, and it's so interesting, we're talking this day, on July 6th, we finally boarded the plane with our dog, Buddha, and our five young children, and when we were halfway, the plane caught fire. I mean, you can imagine, as a mother, you sit there with your husband and your five kids, and suddenly the plane was filled with blue smoke, and they didn't know what it was, and they couldn't stop it. And, I mean, it was completely blue in the cabin, and you're, like, halfway, and they're talking about making an emergency landing, and I'm like, yeah, great, in the middle of the ocean? Where do we go? And I was like, God, I mean, how can you do this? We left everything. I gave up everything, the most phenomenal life, all the security. We really, like, we were really, like, in that journey, like, without home, basically, that part where we were in nowhere land, and then we're gonna disappear. That's unbelievable. I just couldn't do it. And I had to surrender, Joanne. You know, you sit in fear, literally shaking, and then there comes a point that you're like, well, if that's the bigger plan. And I literally went there, and it was the most liberating moment of my life to really go. And you know, I've watched these people from 9/11 when they call home, and you were always like, unbelievable, these people sound so calm. But they were probably at that moment of surrender, like when you're just say, I love you, to your spouse who's home, and then you know your destiny is where? You know, not on this earth plane anymore. And it's just, you know, I always look with open mouth when I see them. But I know I reached at least a point where I felt like that same feeling, like, okay, this is maybe it. And then I have to have faith that that's it. I mean, we landed safely in the end, so we're here.
It's a wonderful story. At the same time, surrender is not always, okay, I'm about to die, but it's in my understanding of it, it's more about just giving over so that you're not trying to push everything so much, but you're allowing you've done everything that you can. You boarded the plane.
Yeah.
You left everything behind. You did everything that you can to move ahead on your journey. And there's that moment, Saskia, that you're talking about where you just say, okay, I've done it all. And I'm turning it over to you, and you hope that experience is going to be the right experience. But it is. It usually turns out to be so. So let's shift gears, because I love your story, but I want to hear more about this book. I love the title, and my sense is that the title is really about your experience. But tell us more about this book and what this book offers people.
Yeah. Well, the thing with A Suitcase Full of Faith is that I wrote that book. It's a big book. I mean, it's real. It's not like a thin, it's a book with 40 pages, or it's a real, real thick book. And it has 47 stories, but I wrote it in 22 days. I mean, my soul set me literally down and I couldn't stop. It was like a birth. It was, and with that surge, it's written. And I hear from people that it transforms their life, and I know now why, because it really takes you through an energetic experience. It's not just a book. You're immersed. You're me in these stories. I mean, you walk in my shoes, and at the end of the book, you have that courage that no matter what you want to undertake, you're going to do it. And basically, in the last page, it's the last chapter where I write, you know, like I envision myself, I'm standing on this mountaintop and I know I have to take that leap, and I'm like, what am I waiting for? What do I need to take on this earthy journey with me? I only need a suitcase with faith and trust, and the rest I can leave behind. But when you take that leap, the gravity won't pull you down but up, because we are attached with that, as if you're like a bungee jumper, that bungee cord that's basically the unbiblical cord that's connected to God, that will always pull you up and will never let you down. And I believe that's, you know, really how it is. And I mean, the book takes you from Israel to Japan to Africa to all these countries in Europe, to all over the world, all these different countries where I have all these adventures on and on and on, where I follow my soul, I'm called to go, and then I often come in very dangerous situations, and somehow there's always help. I'm always safe. And it's the energetic experience. It's encoded with faith, trust, and courage. So you just can't miss it. And that's, It gives people hope that,
well, that's,
you know,
and,
I
know,
can
that's
do
so
it, they can do it.
Right. You know, that's so important, that sense of hope, particularly in challenging times. And many people in this country and in the world are experiencing challenging times right now. So A Suitcase Full of Hope full of faith, rather, and which is embedded with hope, is incredibly inspiring. And we have a few minutes, but I have a really important question for you.
Yeah.
What advice can you offer those folks who, not like you, who lose their faith and also may lose sight of their dream or their dreams? What, in just a short moment, what can you tell them that can help them possibly turn that around?
You know, I always say to people, my coaching clients, like, you know, what would you do if you couldn't fail? And that ignites, you know, you and write it down. Don't keep it in your head. Write it down, because that's your soul calling, really. And then I'll say, check your beliefs. Number one, check your beliefs. Are they aligned with your destiny? Because if you believe, like, I'm not good enough, I can never do it in my life, everything always fails, you don't even have to start because your beliefs will override it. So check your beliefs. And then really take baby steps. Take baby steps. You know, the littlest steps are good enough, because it starts to move that dream. Dreams, the word that goes with the dream, you need to pursue. If you don't pursue them, they stay a dream, like, forever, you know. It won't. You need to push that dream out. So take baby steps. Then give gratitude and appreciation for what you have, because there's so much good in our lives, even if it's the littlest thing. And if you don't know what you can be grateful for, go to your breath. I mean, how incredible is it that we can breathe? And then surrender to the outcome and the timing of your dream, because that's a key piece. I mean, for me, that has always been the most difficult part. Like, I'm impatient. I want it now. I don't want to wait, like, 6 years. For example, the green card, it took us 6 years, and we never knew if we would be kicked out of the country in a heartbeat. It was very tough to sit through that, but I've learned to persevere, sit in that unknowing, be willing that the universe is marinating your dream. And in what I'm doing now, I would love for everybody to take advantage of that. I had a program that I sold for $200. I'm offering that for free now. It's the 22-day roadmap to your dream. And people can get that on my website, and it's for free. And it guides you through the whole process. I mean, I can't love that program enough myself. I'm like, oh, that's the
Well, I think it's
goal.
Wonderful that you're offering it, and yeah, we're running out of time. So tell our listeners how people can get a hold of that program, and
yeah,
how people can find out more about you and your website.
Yeah. No, the website where you can, you know, first page, download every day. I'll guide you through the whole step-by-step, you know, roadmap to your dreams. That's on yoursoulguidance.com, www.yoursoulguidance.com. And just go there. There is another free gift on another page. That's the 5 Keys to Courage, Your Giant Leap of Faith. In that mini book, it's a downloadable ebook, which I offer for free now, too. You can check all my beliefs I'm having about how life works. So it's a great tool to have. And, you know, just browse around. And I would say to anyone, if you have a dream, or you want that one thing so badly, you have a calling, also look at the soul tribe when you're on yoursoulguidance.com. Check it out.
Saskia, thank you so much. You've been wonderful, and I think our listeners, even those who doubt that it's possible to keep their dream alive, will really muster some faith from your inspiration and from what you have to offer. Check out her website and her free offers, because I think it can really assist you. You've been a wonderful guest. I'm so glad that we were able to do the show on your anniversary.
Hmm.
So thanks again.
That's delightful.
For being...
Thank you.
My pleasure. And this is Joanne White. We've been talking to Saskia Roel and talking about dreams. And we have another person who's on the air, and I'm going to introduce her in a few moments. Somebody else who had to follow, and to some extent, the path of her soul and the path of her dreams. And for those of you who think, well, I don't know how to take that leap of faith. It's really too scary, and it is scary. It is sometimes scary to leave the familiar and to move past what you know and what's been there for you and to actually explore the unknown. It makes people very, very uncomfortable. But when you do, and Saskia can attest to that, Gloria Messenger, my next guest, who's a spiritual artist and angel messenger, can also attest to that, and so can I, because when you do, it's the most incredible experience, and you do know without a doubt that you are on the right path because there's so much guidance. So Gloria Messenger is a wonderful spiritual artist. I've checked her out, and she's also an angel messenger, and she too has a very magical story. She helps others connect with their own angels through their personal angel portrait and also receives private written messages of guidance for these people's lives. She was recently featured in WOW, Gal of the Online magazine, Women of Worth, and has also been featured on public and business television, and she writes for the magazine What Women Want Plus More. Her accomplishments include her spiritual portraits, an angel meditation, CD, which is called On Wings You Connect, and a lot of stuff. But we're going to find out more about how Gloria gets these messages from the angels. And we're going to find out more about angels today. So, Gloria, are you on the line?
I am.
How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for being here. And you have one of the most incredible stories when you were actually visited by angels and you received what you call the gift of communication. So I know our listeners would love to hear more about that and more about what the gift of communication is. So please enlighten us.
Certainly. To set it up, I was in the business world. I was selling real estate at the time, and I had taken a meditation class to help myself handle the stress of the job.
Right.
And I was practicing my meditation, and in a meditation of gratitude for all the wonderful things that were happening in my life. And when I was in that meditation of gratitude, I asked, not knowing who was listening at the time, but I asked for a gift, something that I could create to touch my husband in some way. And that's when the angels visited me, and they told me that I was to draw his angels. I'm not an artist. I don't know how to draw. So this was quite an amazing request at the time, and I have to admit I was a little spooked by the whole process, but I also credit the meditation class for giving me courage to ask questions, and that's what they recommended, that if something unusual happened during meditation, that you ask for identification, you ask a ton of questions, and so I remembered to do that, and the angels then identified themselves as the angels of the light, and that they wanted to bring a message to my husband and draw his angel. So I went along with it and opened up a pad, an artist pad and pastel chalks, and received this unbelievable portrait that is still relevant today, which is another wonderful story.
Was he sick at
the time?
It was
quite an amazing journey.
Was he sick at the time that you asked for guidance for him?
No, I had just married him. He was my new husband. So I wanted to touch him with love in some way. And we had blended our families together, and I had just become a grandmother, and it was just amazing for me. And so I was sitting in gratitude. And I think the angels say, since I've had 17 years of information from them, that we can connect with our angels on many different levels. We can connect when we're down and out and just unbelievably can't think of anywhere to go or where to go from here. And we can connect when we're seeking and seeking and wanting to open up, and our intention is to open up. So that's a medium level. But you can also connect on a happiness high level, and that's the level that I was on. When
so
I
more like
back,
the gratitude
I,
level.
It was
like
very
gratitude
much gratitude.
That you're
talk- yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you believe that people have more than one angel? There are so many stories about everybody has a guardian angel, but my experience is that there's more, but I'm curious about yours.
Yes, the information that I've received from the angels is that we have a minimum of three angels that we have chosen to come with us throughout our journey here. They're with us at birth. They're with us throughout our whole lives, and they leave with us. But in the meantime, when we're taking on a huge undertaking or a large, impactful event that's going to help other people in our lives, you will have expert angels that come in as well to assist you. And so there's plenty of angels. There's an abundance of angel energy that will assist you throughout your life. All you have to do is open up to it.
You know, I think that's so true. What's the difference? Because I also teach about angels and spirit guides, mm-hmm. and people say to me, well, what's the difference? What's the difference in your understanding of angels and spirit guides? Or do you think they're one and the same?
Well, the angels say we like to make a difference because we like to label different scenarios. The angels, in most cases, have not had reincarnation, where spirit guides have. So they say if there is a difference, that's the difference. In most cases, the angels are the energies of the all. They call God the all or the source of all or the all love in my writings. And they say in most cases the angels are like, they say they're like a taxi service at times, where they will bring people from who have passed over that are significant people in our life who still have a message or want to assist us here on earth, and they will deliver them to us in accessing our, alerting our attentions in some way. I'd like to expand on that.
In a way, they're helping bring us the spirit guides that we're talking
right.
about.
Well, the spirit guides are, you choose your spirit guide, and your spirit guides are with you as well as your angels. I have a spirit guide, and he is a spirit guide and an angel, as far as I'm understanding, and he facilitates the drawings that I receive. And
yeah, I have a guide that actually helps me with my writing, and I have a lot of guides, too. So.
Yeah, and then your angels, what they do, what they tell me that their purpose is with us is to allow us to see ourselves better. And what they say is, if we can get a visual, a simplistic visual of this, is they fly around and put mirrors in front of us. So
to
they
see
want
our true nature you're talking about?
To see ourselves, to gain a real strong recognition of who we are and why, what we are, our attributes are, our gifts are, our talents, our traits, our personality, to gain awareness of ourselves is their purpose. And then they say when we do that, we make better choices. And so they help illuminate the choices to us.
So who we really are is not always what we think we are or who we think
Absolutely.
We are. It's a lot more than that, and it's also very right. It's very connected with our angelic presence in our souls. Now you wrote something that I just think is so very, very interesting. You say that when you are actually doing these portraits, that there's no need for people to set up an appointment with you. Now, that to me, given my crazy schedule, is very bizarre. How do you do that, and what do you mean by that?
yeah, it is amazing still to me. And it's what all I need is the person's full name and their birth date. And I began asking for the birth dates after a while because I was receiving senior, junior names with exactly the same name. And so
right.
the angels were asking for more clarity. But all I need is the person's full name and their birth date. And what I do is go into a meditation. I start communicating with my angels. I then present that person's name. And then my angels connect with that person's angels. And then I channel the portrait. I become the messenger for the writings and the portrait to come through to present to that angel and present to that recipient. I'm sorry. The thing that's really confirmation for me is that I have done this for people all around the world, and I receive emails and letters from them saying it was like they came and sat for a portrait because their angels are mirroring them back to themselves, so they see resemblance in the portraits to themselves.
That's so fascinating. What about the messages that you're getting when you're sitting and doing the portrait? How do people respond to those messages from the angel?
Well, they're very the person's angels really know them, so they will approach them in a way that will alert them or get their attention. So I've received messages that are very full of poems, which is really neat. Or I also get them where they're very point form. This is going to happen, and this will happen, and that will happen, and it'll go into like 15 points, and they can actually check off every one as it happens. And then I also get them where if the person is quite a humorous person, they will speak to them in humor, and it is just an amazing thing. They will joke with them. So they will do anything to get your attention.
So they're giving people what they need, and in the same time you were talking about that they're mirroring people. So sometimes they kind of mirror their personality traits, as I'm understanding. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes. And they will try and alert you to what you need to do next, or what is happening right now in your life, and how a better approach might be there. They're never negative. They're always loving and kind and trying to give you adjustments, and I've never seen a negative comment in my 17 years. It's always been a very loving, kind, wanting to assist and guide approach.
You know, it's a shame. I wish I had... go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. When this all first happened to me, I asked a lot of questions, and I asked them why... I think this is quite important to share. I asked them why me, why this was happening to me. They kept telling me it was my mission, and I said, in my conscious mind, I have no recollection of this mission. I'm in the business world. This is not even close to what I was doing. And they told me that I would get confirmation of this being my mission if I went and looked up the meaning of my name. So at that time, I was not on computers that much. So I went to the library and looked up my name in baby books and in original name meaning books. And I found out my name, Gloria, means joy. It means celebration. And it means angel love. And I never before considered that. And then I went to look up my last name, which is my Sir Maiden name, Messenger. And that also means angel, and it also means one who delivers an important message. So they told me to put it together, and I would get confirmation of my mission. So when I put it together, it means to celebrate the joy of angel love and deliver that message. And they go on to say that every single one of us on Earth have put clever clues in our lives, and most of us have accessed the clues within our names. And we have suggested our names to our parents prior to birth. They have free will, so they don't have to use it, but they usually cannot forget it or get it out of their head. So they will tag it on as a middle name or a nickname. And so it's very important.
It's so fascinating. I'm thinking that before the show I should have sent you my information so that we could have spoken about my portrait or whatever, but we'll do that at another time. How can listeners open to the presence of their guardian angels? What other ways can they do that?
I'm so glad you asked that. There is a wonderful, very simplistic way to link with your angels. Your angels communicate with you using your six senses. So what you have to do is think about how you would like them to alert you or access you. And when they access you with one of your six senses, it's always your immediate environment. It's either something that you've just thought about. Is it a positive, negative thought that they want to bring to your attention? Or someone said something that you need to hear and listen to? Or is there a caution or an observation that you need to see in your environment? And when they told me about this, I asked, okay, I would like to see you every day or feel you with me every day, so how can we go about doing that? And they said I had to pick one of my six senses. So I thought about it, and then I picked my sense of feeling or touch. And I said, okay, tickle me around my face, around my nose, and then I will personally know that you're there because I can see if there's anything in front of me, right? So
basically you're instructing them how to give you
how you would like them to connect with you.
Got it.
If you don't know, you can ask them to show you, which is the best way. But they tickle me all the time. So to give you an example of this, I told my son about it, and he said, okay, Mom, I'm going to pick something. And I said, okay, go ahead. He said, okay, I want them to tickle me right below my right knee when they want my attention. And I thought, okay, whatever, you're going to make it hard on them. He said, yeah, I want them to prove to me that they're there. I said, okay. So about a month later, this doesn't always happen immediately, but it depends on what you pick. If you pick something gentle, like in my case, I feel it almost every day. But in his case, he picked something that he wanted them to alert him when he wasn't paying attention. And so a month later, he calls me and says, Mom, the angels just saved my life. So I said, how did they do that? He said, well, I was driving on the highway. I was heading home from work, and the traffic was going really good, and it was really quite light for the day. He said, all of a sudden, my right knee, just below my right knee, got so itchy, I could not stand it. He said I had to lift it off the gas pedal and rub it really hard. He said, just when I was doing that, he says a car came up on a side ramp and was going too fast and flipped over the medium and bounced and flipped over right in front of me and went into the ditch on the other side. He said,
that
if I had
amazing.
Left my foot on the gas, it would have hit me right on.
You know, that's so amazing.
So that still gives me tingles telling that story.
Yeah,
from my son, you know.
Right, because it's so true in so many ways,
yeah.
And I've also known so many people who have listened to their angels and been spared all sorts of challenging experiences like your son. I think it's a wonderful. Tell us a little bit about this book. You have a book, isn't that correct?
Oh, the book I have been working with the angels for over 17 years. And they're still telling me new stuff. Some of the stuff I've never heard. They really are talking about how we are intricately design our lives here and what we do and what we select. And they talk about, actually, people that are adopted would be really interested in this because they talk about a layering adventure that person has chosen. So they're actually doubling up their lives.
What do you mean
it's
by
really
a
quite
layering?
Wonderful.
What
layering
mean,
adventure,
Lord?
they
yeah.
call it.
What does that mean?
Well, they explain it all in the book, but what I get from it is once that person starts looking for the clues, like start with the first place you can start, the most important place, I think, is finding the meaning of your name. So if they are aware of their adopted name and their birth name, they can get the meaning of their mission in life, their purpose, and how they're supposed to approach it. And what it is, I've done it with several hosts as well and who have had been adopted, and it gives you such insight to why things work for you when you're doing making a certain approach, and when they don't, when you seem to be blocked, it really gives you a lot of insight. And every decision you make in life, if it fits with your mission, it's the correct decision. And when you understand,
how do people know, Gloria, when it fits with their mission? How do they understand that? I mean,
You have that inner knowing. Like for me, to celebrate the joy of angel love and deliver that message, when I am making a decision, like to accept engagements or talking events or workshops and that sort of thing, I get a vision of, is that going to fit with my mission? Are the people attending that going to really receive and be open to what I'm going to share? So that's just one little example. But everything in life, your decision to move, your decision to take a new employment, your decision for a relationship, it all fits in that mission. You have this new... once you start searching out yourself and your who you really, really are, and start gaining that self-discovery, it lifts you into that intuitive empowerment. And you really lift that energy, and your angels assist you with the mirroring.
You know, I love that expression, intuitive empowerment, because I think that sixth sense that you've been referring to, that sense of intuition and our psychic potentiality, is one of the ways to really help us be more empowered, and I think it's so wonderful. Your book, it's called A Mirroring Discovery with Angel Visitation. I'm curious, have you ever done a self-portrait?
Oh, yes, I have.
So what's that like? Can you share that? We only have a few more minutes.
A self-portrait? No, I have received my angel's portrait. Is that what you mean?
Well, that's what I mean. So you sat down
and I received my angel's portrait, and they mirror me back to myself.
Right.
And my portrait is 17 years old, and I have it framed and on my wall, and it changes. New things happen as I change in life. And right recently, I've just seen huge letters that spell out the word joy in the portrait that I never saw before.
Wow.
The eyes move with you. They're magical. They follow you. They recede. They come forward. The colors change. More angels appear. The testimonials and the comments that I've received from people are truly amazing. Another thing that's so amazing is I'm not an artist. I'm not a
trained
artist.
You know, I have to hear this right. So let me get this. So because I think it's incredibly fascinating. So you have the angels you're getting the inspiration, the guidance from the angels, and you do a portrait. And presumably people who know about portraits and paintings, they're fixed. They don't move, they don't change. But what you're saying, and this is astounding, folks, and tell me if I'm right, what you're saying, Gloria, is that over time, that portrait that maybe was done 5, 10, whatever, long years ago, is changing as the person changes and evolves. Is that what you're saying?
That's absolutely right.
Folks,
astounding.
You have to.
It's so open. It's so movable. It's like liquid on the paper. It changes.
Well,
it moves. It lifts. You see writings that you never see before. My girlfriend, to give you a quick little example, my girlfriend had her portrait done about 5 years ago, and the name is off. They also give you a name to communicate, and that is full of messages too. And both of us looked at it and thought, oh, it's so interesting, so different and all that stuff. Well, recently she just went into media in her job, and we never, either one of us before, saw the microphone in the portrait, and now the microphone is right up front and center. You can't not miss it. You can't miss it.
Folks, this is incredible. We are talking to Gloria Messenger, who's a messenger in her own right, spiritual artist, and receives messages for you from angels, and she's going to tell us right now how you can get your own special spiritual portrait and watch it change and evolve, and see the changes that you're experiencing and also be able to get a hold of her book. So how can people contact you, Gloria? Because I'm ready to send you an email as soon as we hang up and get this. I want one front and center in my office.
Great. Oh, they're so beautiful. They can go to www.theangelmessenger.com.
And you have your CD there and how they can get a hold of you.
And my CD there, and they can, yeah, they order the book. And, yeah, I'd love to tell you a story about the book cover and how that came about. I don't know if we have enough time.
We have about 1 minute, so if you can do it in a minute, that would be great.
That is, the cover is, the book is magical because I channeled it in 32 days, which totally surprised me. And during that channeling, the angels wrote that they would give me the name of the book, and then they would make the book appear to come full circle for the 17 years we've been working together. I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder how they're going to do that. Well, I had been talking to a friend who published a book, and she said what she did was make up a temporary book cover, and that would be maybe a way that I could start promoting the book while it was at the publisher. So I thought, okay, that's a good idea. So I asked a friend of mine who's very good on the computer and going into picture galleries, and I said, if you see something that might fit, here's the title of the book. She hadn't read it or anything. See if anything jumps out at you. And she said, okay, it's going to take me a while because I'm really busy. And I said, fine, that's fine. The next day I receive an email from her saying, I could not have let this out of my head. I could not leave it and do anything else. I had to get up in the middle of the night, go searching, and here is the picture gallery that I think the picture gallery photo that I think would work for the book title. So I opened up their attachment and I just about fell off the chair because the photo that she sent is a duplicate of the very first original channeled portrait that I did for my husband 17 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing. So the angels were actually guiding her through that whole experience.
Yes.
That's glorious.
No, it's
what an
so
amazing,
very amazing
story. Yes. I just am so delighted by your story, and I think that folks are going to be so amazed when they go and get one of these portraits and find out more, because it reveals so much about them and their own personal journey, and
yeah,
I think it's great. So thank you, Gloria, so much for your guidance and for your connecting to the angels and giving us this glorious information and for being on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure. Have a blessed day, and I'm going to contact you very soon, so be aware.
All right.
have a great one. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We've been talking to wonderful people today, and it's really about helping you get in touch with your purpose, with the direction that you're going in, whether it's through the guidance from your soul or the guidance from those helpers, those spiritual helpers, the angels that are all around you, really ready to give you information. They're here to guide you on your journey. You do need to ask. That's been my experiences, and Gloria also mentioned that. You do need to ask the angels, and they will come, and sometimes they come in many different forms. But I want to take a moment for all of us at this very moment to just take a breath and to think about what you have in your life. And it's not necessarily about all the riches, and it's not necessarily about all the other things that we can attribute to material experiences, but the riches in terms of, Saskia said it well, in terms of your breath, your body, maybe your children, just the fact that you're waking up today, or you woke up today, and you have in fact another day to do with whatever you choose. And so I want you for one moment to really put yourself in that place of gratitude. And I think find time, it doesn't take that long each day, find time to really give thanks, whether it's mentally or on a piece of paper, to really give thanks for the little things in your life. And hold that space of gratitude, because I think as we do, much more wonders, many more wonders begin to appear in our lives, and I think it opens us up to wonderful experiences. And so it's been a great show, and next week we have someone that's been already on our show, and because of many people, we're bringing him back, and he is Mark Allen. He's going to talk to us about success with ease. So many people, sometimes including me, seem to labor and work so hard at moving forward and following their goals and their dreams. But Mark Allen has another approach. He's an internationally renowned seminar leader. He's also a publisher and president of the New World Library, and he has a way, he's developed a way. He said on the last show that he's very lazy. I don't believe that for a minute, but he has developed a way that he's going to share with us to really reach your goals, reach that level of success that you want with ease. So, So I encourage you to all tune in next Wednesday, July 13th at noon. And I just want you to remember that you are, each and every one of us is here on our own personal journey as well as our beautiful collective experience. And in addition to giving thanks for all that you have, give thanks for being able to be here and to share this time with us. And I give thanks for that each and every day. So power your life. Think about ways that you can better yourself and also take that experience and influence to really move forward, to develop, and to all join together to really bring forth a wonderful, beautiful world. Thank you for sharing your day with us. This is Dr. Joanne White, and you can find lots of information, including soul messages, on my website, docwhite.org, docwhite.org, and contact me. I'd love to hear from you. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.